Continuing on the theme of empathic communication, I thought it would be appropriate to make some references to our acharyas. Yesterday evening was Bhagavatam Chaitanya Charitamrita, and now our acharyas being examples of empathic communication or compassion. In principle, we heard the description. The compassionate mood of the acharya be the carrier of Krishna's compassion. And what is Krishna's compassion? Or, in two words, why creation? So the second purpose is to provide living entities the chance to fulfill their desire to try to be an enjoyer independently from Krishna, which is impossible, and therefore the illusory potency is one aspect of creation. And restoring the fullness of happiness to the living entities is the second purpose of creation. The opportunity is there, built within the creation, and with the creation, the means of rectification of the errant misuse of free will of a living entity to restore to a healthy condition again. So with that in mind, the previous acharyas, they are instruments of that desire of Krishna, the happiness of a living entity. Everyone should be happy. Now, that's Vaikuntha. And in a place of Kunta, it's not happy. Seeing that this is the cognizant element, seeing that unhappiness and why the affective element is wishing the happiness, feeling the sorrow, but unnecessary. Suffering is unnecessary. And how much suffering? In so many different ways. All the lonely people, where do they all belong? There's a song like that. Wanting to love and be loved and feeling alone. There's the eternal friend of all living beings. Due to forgetfulness, we're looking elsewhere and feeling lonely and other kinds of things. So that the acharyas wish to deliver real happiness. Prabhupada would repeat over and over a certain phrase in Sanskrit that means, may they be happy. And if you listen, I've been fortunate to listen to recordings of Prabhupada's lectures all over the world, and almost always the punchline is, and people should be happy. While explaining the misfortune in so many ways, the misguided civilization in so many ways, and the philosophy in so many ways, that the end result is people should be happy. He just wanted that people would be happy. That's our well-wisher, your ever-well-wisher, Srila Prabhupada, reminding us who our real friend is. And by us who are, he is also our real friend, one who does like that. Or another way of saying, same thing. A real friend is one who reminds you of Krishna. But specifically, he's your best friend. There isn't a better friend. There can't be a better friend. He is the best friend. Always, even when our attention is elsewhere, he remains our best friend. Wherever the living entity goes, it's described this way by our acharyas, that the Paramatma feature is not present in Goloka. The Paramatma feature is present only in the created realm. Because the living entities who wish to forget Krishna, so to speak, or literally, they turn their back on Krishna and walk. They leave that relationship. You can't leave that relationship, but the consciousness of leaving that relationship, I'm out of here. Krishna is very kind. He hides himself in the heart of living entity and accompanies the living entity through their whole journey trying to forget Krishna. He's there reminding them, helping them, giving them the intelligence how to forget him in different ways because that's what they want, but also reminding them, like one college student the other day was asking, why pain? How to transcend it, and why is it even there? Anyway, so I thought it was a very intelligent question. Like Sanatana Goswami asking, why the threefold miseries? Why are we subjected to that? Not like how to work around it or how to manage it and how to navigate your way through. Just why is it there? They're like, why creation? An indication is it tells us something. It's there to tell us something. There's a power beyond us and we need to connect with that power beyond us. It's like a person who's in prison. It's unpleasant. So in so many ways, just like this nice example of Judd Barrett teaching King Grahugana, the forest of material enjoyment. It's not a place of enjoyment. So those are reminders. That's the why. It's a reminder. This isn't our real place. And so what's the alternative? The place of freedom. Vaikuntha. Hearing it, how many times have we heard it? So many times. And we're still, there's affinity for being enjoyers of the temporary. But tirelessly, Super Soul and the representative of Super Soul tirelessly express, come to Krishna. And that's the best friend. Expertly. Not naggingly, but very expertly. Sometimes gently, sometimes strongly, sometimes embracing, sometimes scolding, sometimes whatever is appropriate. And all of our acharyas have that spirit. I wanted to share some examples. There are so many examples. One is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And there's a specific incident that's outstanding. There was a time. You okay? Need a chair? You sure? Okay. There was a time when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was living in Puri. He was not yet initiated, but he was a lover of Krishna. He was a lover of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he was, you know, a brilliant speaker of the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. So on a daily basis, those of you that have been to Puri, you can picture in your mind the Jagannath Ballabh Garden. And he would go to a certain place in the Jagannath Ballabh Garden, sit and speak Srimad Bhagavatam. And daily, the numbers of persons grew and grew because he's an exalted personality speaking the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. And as that notoriety grew and grew, there was one Babaji who started speaking bad things about Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Raghunath Das Babaji. And he was telling people, don't go. And the explanation isn't given why he said don't go, but don't go, don't go hear from him. And this went on, and the news came to, you know how it came back to Bhaktivinoda. Could you put that down? Thanks. It came back to Bhaktivinoda that he was speaking this way and he just tolerated. And after some time, the man, Raghunath Das Babaji, contracted a disease that had a very severe fever and he was going to leave his body. The fever became so intense. Body was burning. And one night he had a dream. Lord Jagannath appeared to him in his dream and said, you are an offender of a pure devotee. You should fall at his feet and beg forgiveness for your offense. His name wasn't at that time Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but go to him. Fall at his feet and beg forgiveness. So the man was nearly dead with fever, but he somehow made it to where Bhaktivinoda Thakur was staying and did exactly what Jagannath told him to do and explained why, what the offense was that he had made. The offense was he was criticizing him that, you know, how can you speak the Srimad Bhagavatam? You're not even wearing tilak. And you're not even wearing kunti mala. And you're posing yourself as a speaker of the Bhagavatam. How audacious, that was my thought. I didn't understand. Jagannath told me, you know, I shouldn't have spoken like that. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained, my association with Krishna is through the holy name. And my association with Tulsi is through the beads and chanting of the holy name. But I have not yet been found my guru. I am not therefore wearing kunti mala like we have our initiation ceremony. We change out our old kunti mala and get new ones. During Bhaktivinoda time, the practice was prior to initiation, no kunti mala. With initiation is one of the five things that the spiritual master will give to the disciple. And also tilak. There's an essay, Pancha Sangskar, Bhaktivinoda wrote. Those are two of five things the guru gives. A name is another. So, because I haven't found guru, I'm not improperly, that was his standard, I'm not wearing kunti mala and tilak. But I'm praying to Krishna for that day to come when I will find my guru. Now, Prabhupada was very liberal and he had everybody wearing neck beads and giving us an explanation why it will protect us. at the time of death when the Yamadutas, whatever sinful, wear neck beads, they'll leave you alone. Okay, I can be sinful, wear neck beads, and I'm good. So we don't do that, but remind us of Krishna, remind others of Krishna. So not only Bhaktivinod forgave him, Bhaktivinod diagnosed his illness, just like we heard Prabhupada diagnosing Jamuna's illness, and then he took charge of curing him. He gave him certain medicine, he prescribed a certain diet, and became well. And he spoke of him so highly, he called him a Siddha Purush, which means like a perfected soul, and honored him with great exaltation. And they became great friends, because they're both very elevated personalities. But not understanding the greatness of Bhaktivinoda, he was offending him, and no exception to that, rather just having compassion and affection. Wanted to cure him of the illness, not like he got his. Not like that. And different but similar, a nice example is Jayadeva Goswami. Now some of you know the story, but Jayadeva Goswami, when we have our aarti ceremony, we sing the Nrisinga prayers at the end, that's from one part of writings of Jayadeva Goswami. The book was entitled Gita Govinda. Gita Govinda was very much appreciated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. During the lifetime of Jayadeva Goswami, it was sung every day by a group of dasis, young girls, for the pleasure of Jagannath. Long story, but Jayadeva Goswami, among other things, he had a deity of Radha Madhava. Beautiful deity of Radha Madhava. It is said that the original deity, Radha Madhava, are now in Jaipur. But they're very large deities. And during some time when he was wishing to have a wonderful Janmashtami festival for Radha Madhava, but he was a Brahmana, he didn't have wealth. So for the service of his deity, he decided that he would go on a little tour, a month-long tour, and sing and deliver the message of Gita Govinda to different audiences, and whatever he would receive as contributions, he would bring back, use that for the worship of his deity. And that way, fully clean, fully transparent, fully pure, not Bhagavad Katan for maintaining himself. It was for his deity. So in the course of that month-long journey, he had some savings, some wealth. And some dacoits came to know he had some wealth, and so they attacked him. And they stole his money and threw him in the bottom of a well. Robbery and attempted murder. And one king was passing in that remote place, and there was a well, and he went to get well and saw somebody at the bottom of the well. Help! And so he helped Jayadev get out of the well. And Jayadev didn't explain anything like those people or I'm Jayadev. He just, you know, was grateful to the king for saving his life. And the king brought him back, restored him to health, and came to know that he was a composer, and so he wanted to hear his composition, and he heard his composition and became so charmed. Now, regularly, he would hear Jayadeva Goswami recite Gita Govinda. Then he decided to have a big festival and let everybody hear. So he arranged and publicized big festival. So during those days, when a big festival would take place, they would, the brahmanas would come, and remuneration of the brahmanas, part of the cloth and gifts and valuables. And in the audience, dressed as if they were brahmanas, were the same robbers. Now they didn't know it was Jayadeva that was going to be this, you know, that the person they dumped into the well was Jayadeva. But Jayadeva recognized them. So he called the constables over and gestured in their direction. See those fellows? So the fellows saw Jayadeva speaking to the constables, thinking, uh-oh, we're going to get arrested and punished by the king. So they got up and took off. And when they took off, Jayadeva said, please find them and give them abundant wealth. So, you know, he didn't explain anything, like what had happened and why he said that. Just, you know, so they were doing the bidding of this sadhu, and they caught the robbers. And they said, why did you leave? And then they started saying bad things about Jayadeva. Oh, he's a corrupt person, this and that, and, you know, lying about, and again, just speaking words of offensiveness without even explaining anything of what had previously happened, because they're not supposed to say that. They'd be in trouble. As the story goes, as they were speaking these offensive words to Jayadeva, the earth opened up like a sinkhole. They became buried in the earth, and the earth closed. And the constables were very surprised, to say the least. So they came back and informed the king what happened. We pursued them, but this happened. They came out, and they were gone. So the king asked Jayadeva, do you know who those fellows were? And why was it you wanted them to be remunerated in this way? So Jayadeva told the whole story. Said, those were the same fellows that robbed me and threw me down to the bottom of the well. So why'd you want to remunerate them? Why'd you want to give them gifts? He said, because I could understand. They were in hardship. And so, why should they be in hardship? Let's give them the means so they don't have to be in anxiety. The king was astonished. He wasn't holding anything against them. He was just understanding their mentality, the hardship mentality, and, you know, let's relieve them of that hardship mentality by, here's some remuneration, here's some means. You don't have to go steal, you can just receive these gifts from the king. That's pretty extraordinary. But great personalities, they do such extraordinary things. So as with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, also Jayadeva, I want to tell a lesser known story, but some of you may not even be aware of the first part, certainly not the second part, probably not the second part. In the early days, the person who was assisting Srila Prabhupada with Sanskrit was Pradyumna. Kind of a celebrity, Hare Krishna celebrity, Pradyumna. Prabhupada called them Panditji, lazy intelligent. too lazy. One time Prabhupada was visiting in New York, and he wanted to see how well Pradyumna had done with the synonyms for the Sanskrit verses of the Bhagavatam. And he was like, you know, I don't know how much, but a whole lot, several chapters, maybe more than a canto's worth of synonyms that he just hadn't gotten around to because he was lazy intelligent. Prabhupada scolded him, and that night he finished everything, caught up everything. He personally did it. And that's where it started, and then after some time, there was another devotee whose name was Nittai, and if you hear the recordings of the reciting of the Sanskrit verses, that other voice is Nittai's voice. And he, you know, he had studied Sanskrit and became a qualified Sanskrit person. So he was doing Sanskrit work for the BBT and helping Prabhupada like Pradyumna was. He was not as lazy intelligent as Pradyumna. Something happened. Nittai read too many books. And some of the books were books that devotees shouldn't be reading. They were, I don't even know what books they were, but they were books that led him away from Prabhupada's shelter. Because he was doing something one was not supposed to do and got him into trouble. So at one point, he asked Prabhupada for permission to take initiation from somebody else where he could learn some higher things. And Prabhupada was fire. I reject you. And that was like a well-known thing in ISKCON. And so he left. And his non-devotee name was Neil Delmonico, and he became then a professor and an author of things that devotees shouldn't be reading, because he kind of went off the cliff because of offense. And Prabhupada was fire. The little-known part, I heard this from Hari Sori, is that Prabhupada cried. And he appealed to him multiple times later to become properly situated once again. Although publicly he had been offended, privately he was trying to restore him. Very compassionate. He was rejecting Prabhupada, and Prabhupada is appealing to him. He didn't respond. But the compassion of Prabhupada went even for offenders. What to speak of people who make mistakes. So, who can understand the heart and the mind of such an elevated person? We are not to imitate such elevated persons. But it gives an idea of the capacity. What's the intention behind all of these things? It's being instruments of Krishna's compassion. And what's Krishna's compassion? Living entities should be again connected with Krishna, because that's their happiness. Krishna wants their happiness, not his happiness. Krishna wants their happiness. Just like parents want the happiness of their children. Happiness should be, but real happiness is the happiness of the children. And they're developing nicely and so forth. Krishna wants that. But he doesn't interfere with their free will. Therefore, the acharyas act as instruments of that will of Krishna. And they can be, you know, sometimes very direct. Not just neutral super soul, but very direct. So essential in receiving Krishna's compassion and Lord Chaitanya's compassion is the instruments of Krishna's and Lord Chaitanya's compassion. And all of us of course, different situations. There's lots of diversity. But something that's essential is we've all received some mercy of an instrument or multiple instruments of Krishna's mercy. And for that, we're indebted. And to the extent that we feel that gratitude, it can move our hearts, transform our hearts, and take us closer to Krishna. That's the intention of the compassion of the Vaishnavas. We come closer to Krishna. You just have to say yes. And yet, say yes means practical steps. We may not be totally clear the steps and everything, the goal, but making steps. So initiation is one of those important steps. Srila Prabhupada, when speaking about the 9 stages of bhakti, this initiation comes bhajana kriya, so the initial adavshraddha, some faith, sadhu sangha, association of devotees, bhajana, we do with sadhus what sadhus do, we do some devotional activity, bhajana kriya. That's what we do. And the initiation is in that bhajana kriya stage. So here there's 2 nice devotees who will be receiving first initiation, and that's kind of the focus. The second initiation is also devotees that I've known for umpteen years. You know, how many years? 20? Huh? 28 years. That's a long time. Look at, he's getting gray. I knew him from when he was in college. Yeah. Long time. And then they got married. Then he met his wife. Still in college. Very young. Practicing Krishna consciousness very, very steadily for all these years and doing lots of service and now deity worship at the temple, and so you gotta get second initiation to do deity worship. They've been doing deity worship in their home. So, anyway, it's an important stage. Now the first initiation, something that I like to do, we're going to do now, that is, some devotees that know something close appreciation of those devotees' service and dedication to Krishna consciousness can speak something, and Satyasar is the one who can speak something. Where's that microphone?
Hare Krishna. So, first I wanted to thank Abhacharan Prabhu and Guruvani Mataji from Austin. They are the ones who introduced Anil Prabhu and Maya Mataji to Krishna consciousness.
Speak and slowly.
Unfortunately, not able to attend the event today, but they conveyed their best wishes to both of you. Now, a little bit about Anil Prabhu. I have known him for a few years now. They attend our preaching program regularly, every week, with the family. Fantastic devotee. Very simple, very sincere, always wanted to serve devotees and so on. There are many things I can speak about Anil Prabhu, but in the interest of time, I just want to talk about one aspect of him which really inspired me personally and also Abhacharan Prabhu, so I just want to share that. He's very enthusiastic about preaching to his co-workers. You know, that's amazing, and he works for IBM. He's a department head, very powerful and influential job he has. Most of his day at work he spends by giving presentations and meeting high-profile co-workers and customers. So what he does is he puts a beautiful picture of Krishna playing flute, okay, with the forest background on his desktop. After presentation, he just keeps that picture on the screen. When people ask him, so Prabhu, what is that beautiful picture? He just grabs the opportunity and just talks about Krishna to them. It's it's a very innovative, actually. Like that, you know, he does many things. He started a fasting club. What is that? That
what means club?
Fasting.
Fasting.
Yaga Desi Fasting Club in IBM. Now, so 6 or 7 Westerners, they are fasting every Ekadasi along with him. Amazing. I mean, there are many like that. If anybody is interested in knowing how to preach in the corporate world, please contact him, and I'm personally inspired. And Abhisharan Prabhu works with him, so me and Abhisharan are very close friends, so you are sharing with me all these things. And so extremely sincere devotee, does a lot of service in our local center in Austin. And so happy that they're taking a big step of getting initiated. I wish them both wonderful devotional, I mean, life of devotional service together. Thank you very much. And Jayasubhai will speak a little bit about Maya Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, this is a message from Guruvani Mataji, because she has known Maya Mataji and Anit Prabhu for a long time.
Speak right into the microphone, okay. Please.
Maya Mataji says, I have known Maya Mataji for over 10 years. I am inspired constantly by her dedication. Ever since she started chanting 16 rounds and following regulative principle, almost 10 years ago, she never wavered from her practice. She has faced many trials and tribulations in her material and spiritual life, but she kept going. Her father was diagnosed with terminal cancer, but she left everything and went to India to take care of him. And she even preached to her father and made him chant in his last days. She is always there for all the devotees. The size of her magnanimous heart is only comparable to the size of pot she has at her home. Because she cooks a lot and she's very enthusiastically, you know, always ready to do service. She has great service attitude. So many, many times we have Sankirtan programs like book distribution. Many volunteers sign up because Maya Mataji is going to cook for the volunteers. So Mataji is saying that she wishes best for her spiritual life under the guidance of Ramapad Maharaj. This is from Guruvani Mataji.
Oh, I thought you did the neck beads already. Can both of you come forward and pay obeisances in front of Prabhupada's Vyasa-san? One at a time, I guess, since you're still doing her neck beads. Okay. Come, Anil. Could you get out of the way? Thanks. Come pay obeisances here. Have you attended an initiation ceremony before? Yes, so you know what's next, right? Okay. This is your vows and before the deities and the devotees and everybody. How many rounds do you chant for the rest of your life?
Minimum
16. Okay. And the four rules that you'll follow?
No meat eating, which includes no fish, no egg, onion or garlic.
Great.
No garlic.
He's a corporate man. Go ahead. Yeah? Okay. Okay, good. Your initiated name is Radha Damodar Das.
Radha Damodar Prabhu Ki
Jai. That's his last name. Damodara. Damodaran. Are you embarrassed at all the things she said about you? You're okay. You're nervous? No, okay. How many rounds you'll chant every day? Good. And the four rules that you'll follow? She follows her good husband. Onions and garlic too, right? Okay. And you'll make your best effort to follow Prabhupada's teachings. Very good.
The initiated name
is Atma Maya Dasi.
Atma Maya Mataji Ki Jai.
You'll find that term in Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna says he appears through the agency of his Atma Maya. That's his internal potency. Atma Maya is the name of Krishna's internal potency. Dasi. Okay, so we're ready for the yajna.